Amen. All right, let's all come on in, find our seats. I heard Tom announcing that today we have a couple of groups out on the road. Basically, this whole section right here is out on the road. Many of their parents and the leaders, we want to pray for them as they go out. And then there's a section over here that is out on the road also. So we have missionaries out this morning. We come today to the last installment in our series on the Lord's 10 appearances after his resurrection. This one this morning is going to be dramatic. It's going to be a dramatic appearance. All of them have been dramatic, but you'll see here in just a little while why I say this one is a little bit more so. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we're told that after this appearance of Jesus, he ascended into the heavens. Now, you know, we're a little bit jaded to that. We live in a day and age of airplanes and helicopters and drones and all that sort of thing. We're kind of accustomed to seeing things levitating in the air. And more than that, in our movies, oh my goodness, in our movies now, through computer generation, we're able to see things that are just impossible to see. We've watched all that in our movies, so we're kind of hardened to seeing anyone levitate any distance, even into the clouds. But these people had never seen anything like a man elevating into the air and disappearing into the clouds. So this was really a dramatic event for those who were watching. Huge event. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. If you have your Bible, follow along with me. You notice these are the last four verses in Matthew. Beginning in verse 16. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Now, the Greek word there is really the word hesitated. Now, come on, we've got to give these guys a break. In the last 40 days, their brains have been fried. They're having a hard time keeping up with everything that's going on there. Then Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age." So, this is it. This was Jesus' last appearance. We're going to entitle this commission, or the commission. Before Jesus left, he gave each of us a job. A job, I think, if I'm not mistaken, we blow out of proportion sometimes. And because we blow it out of proportion, we disconnect ourselves from it, and we relegate it to the professionals. We relegate this, you know, to the pastors, to the preachers, to the missionaries. And that's not good. That's not at all what Jesus expected. That's not at all what Jesus was wanting to say. Although, and we're going to kind of wade through this as we move into the passage, that's certainly the way we receive it. Now, this has been called the Great Commission. The definition of a commission helps us understand a little better what Jesus intends here. Here's the definition of commission: the act of committing or entrusting a person or group with supervisory power or authority. Authority granted for a particular action or function. So the emphasis here is not as much on going as it is on the authority and supervisory power being granted to us, not on the specific job to which we're being assigned. We don't quite understand the closeness, I'm afraid, of the bond between us and Jesus. Jesus considers us to be extensions of himself. In verse 18, Jesus says he has been granted all authority, and then by extension now, we have also been granted authority. That's, you know, we need to pause there and just say, that's how Jesus views us. It's not always the way we view ourselves, but Jesus views us to be extensions of him. That's why he's saying, look, everybody, I've been granted all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, since I've been granted this authority, you have also been granted this authority, so now go and disciple everybody. Power and authority to do what? That's the question we're going to seek an answer to here this morning. Here's one thing: power to live intentionally. Verse 19, Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. The emphasis here is on making disciples, not on going. It's right on this point that we blow this out of proportion. If we put the emphasis on going, we view this as an instruction to interrupt our lives. We hear Jesus saying, go, 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 go. We hear that as the instruction. You know, go as to interrupt your life. Stop what you're doing and do this. Go, you know, to the dark, uncivilized places of life. Go to Africa. Go to the hidden places in South America. Go to Afghanistan. Go to the outback in Australia. That's the way we hear this. And since we hear it that way, we see that as a big interruption to our life. We kind of disconnect from it and relegate that to the professionals. And we're not suggesting here at all that we don't want and pray for young people to give their lives to foreign mission work. We absolutely do. We do want that. It's just that that's not the primary emphasis. Jesus isn't saying interrupt your entire life, break your entire life, all your ties, all your other responsibilities, and go somewhere other than where you are to share the gospel. That's not what he's saying here at all. You know, this is fascinating to me because of the simplicity of it. I think that many people are kind of this mentality. Many people are of the mentality they're saying, you know, Pastor, all I want to do is live my life. I just want to live my life. I just want to get up in the morning and go to work, earn a decent wage. I want to take care of my family. I want to give attention to my marriage. I want to pay my taxes. I want to be a good citizen. And then someday when the time comes, I just want to die peacefully. That's, you know, Pastor, that's what I want to do. I just want to live my life. Is that okay, Pastor? Can I just live my life? And the answer to that, folks, is absolutely yes. Yes. You can just live your life as long as, while living your life, you also talk about Jesus. You know, there's no way Jesus is saying here, I want everybody to go somewhere other than where you are and share the gospel. He's just saying, live your life, go about your life, but as you go about your life, talk about me. I've always wanted to conduct an experiment. Here's the experiment. It needs to be among some folks that are a little bit competitive. You know, get a group of people together, 8 or 10 people, and just say to them, all right, we're going to give a prize away at the end of this day to the person who scores the highest. Here's the challenge. During this day at work, or wherever you're going, during this day at work, I want you to think of creative ways to just mention the name swimming. You know, just work that into your conversation. Somehow, just use the word swimming while you're talking and see how many times you can mention that word swimming, make a tally mark, and at the end of the day, the person who has the most tally marks wins a prize. Or pecan pie. You know, see how many times you can mention pecan pie. Or red sweater. That'd be a tough one. See many times you can mention the word red sweater. Now, I'm convinced some of you are competitive enough. You'd go to work the next day and you'd find creative ways to mention those words so when you got at the end of the day, see if you have competed with and beaten your friends. We would do that. I'm convinced some of you come home with a dozen tally marks. Man, you should have seen me today talking about pecan pie. Everybody's wondering today, what is with her and pecan pie? My goodness, all she can talk about is pecan pie. But I got 13 tallies. I win the contest. That works with everything except the name Jesus. If we were to get that same group together and say, okay, tomorrow, let's see how many times you can mention the name Jesus. Oh, Pastor, can't do that. Why not? Why can't you do that? Of course you can do it. If you can mention red sweater, you can also mention the name Jesus. If we're really serious about witnessing for the Lord, we would do that. Okay, now here's some real practical things you can do just to cause yourself to mention the name Jesus. Ready? You don't look ready. You don't look ready. Here are some practical. I'm already 3 or 4 feet ahead of them. Come on, let's go. For you, those of you on video, there's just this real bass sound here, kind of excited all of us. Okay, here's some things you can do to increase your tally mark of mentioning the name Jesus. First of all, carry your Bible to work. And it needs to look like a Bible, not like John Grisham's latest work, you know. Carry your Bible to work. Don't leave it there. Bring it home with you and carry it the next day. Carry your Bible back and forth to work. People are going to say, hey, I see you carry your Bible. What's that all about? There you go. There's your opportunity. Jesus. There's one tally mark. You know, you could. It gives you an opportunity to talk about the Lord. Wear one of these bracelets. Here's the second one. Wear one of these bracelets. I am second. Mine's broken. I've ordered some more. I am second. People ask you, what's I am second all about? It gives you an opportunity. It gives you an opportunity to say, well, in my life, Jesus is first and I'm second. Say grace over your meals. All the time. No matter who you're with, say grace over your meals. Today, say grace over your meals. At work, say grace over your meals. There's one man here who was interviewing for a job a week or 2 weeks ago. He asked if he could say grace over his meal. He was being interviewed for a job, and he said, do you mind if I say grace over my meal? He got the job. He got the job. I think they were impressed because he said, may I say grace over my meal? Say grace over your meal. Let people see you saying grace over your meal, especially at the job. Well, Pastor, I go out on these business lunches all the time, and I'm with a lot of people. I can't do that. Of course you can. That's the best place to do it. Just pause while they're all talking and hoorahing and just bow your head, just kind of quietly there and say grace and get right back to the meal. You know what they're going to do? They're going to point to you. And here's one. Pray for folks. Pray for folks. Let them know you're praying for them. Hey, did your son get that job? I've been praying for him. How's your cousin handling that cancer? I've been praying for her. Or here's one. This is just for the advanced risk takers. Novices and juniors can't do this one. This is only for the advanced risk takers. You ready? You ready for this one? Do you mind if we just pause right here and pray for your son? Can we just pray? Nobody's watching. Let's just pray for your son. Just take their hand or just put your arm around their shoulder and just pray real quick there for their son. Let me know how that goes. I'll stay in touch. Pray. Are you kidding me, Pastor? No, I'm not kidding you. We're trying to increase the tally mark, right? Who can get the most tally marks mentioning the name Jesus? Intentionally doing this. Live your life just like always. You're not interrupting your life. You're not going to Outback Australia. You're just mentioning the name Jesus. Now, I started right off with that one. You ready? Here's another one. Lead comprehensively. How do you feel about me using the word lead and talking about you? Is that all right? We talked about this last week a little bit. You all right with being an undercover, covert leader for Christ? No one will know if you accept this role. There's not going to be a special presentation made. We're not going to hold a special meeting where we invite all your friends and your relatives and they all get to sit and watch you being designated as a leader. This is covert. This is undercover. You're not going to get a special plaque to hang on your wall. You're not going to get a certificate and pictures taken with the pastor shaking your hand and giving you this covert assignment as leader. This is undercover work. You say, I don't feel much like a leader. Doesn't matter. I don't look much like a leader. Doesn't matter. People may not think of you like a leader. That's even better because this is undercover work. It's good if people don't think of you as a leader. The job being described here in verses 19 and 20 is not simply to present the gospel to folks and pray with them to receive Christ. That's part of it. But that's not really what we're talking about. That may not be your gift. In fact, there may be other people doing that. There may be other people talking to folks and leading them to the Lord. That's not really what we're talking about here. That's only the front end. The job Jesus has given us is to make disciples. And we can only do that by taking the lead. We can only do that by quietly and covertly taking the lead. Look here at verse 19 and 20 again. Make disciples of all nations. That word means people. Make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Look at this big word, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. You can only teach someone if you're leading someone. You can only teach someone if you're out in front of them, somehow saying to them, do this, do that, come on, step here, step there, right? You can only teach someone if you're leading them. That's exactly what Jesus is asking us to do. Let me tell you a secret I've learned over years of preaching. As I preach, of course, I'm looking out at a sea of faces, and all very handsome faces, for the most part. Hankins down here struggling, but outside of Hankins, the rest of you, pretty handsome faces. But let me say this to you. As I'm preaching, there are three groups of faces. First of all, there's the smiling, receptive face. You're just sitting there throughout the entire sermon. You're just so engaged, you know. I'm just so happy to be here. Then there's the concentrating face. You know, there's the face that's just weighing everything, processing everything. Then there's the third group is the scowling face. The scowling face, person looks like a skeptic. You know, they kind of have this look. You know, they're not, it doesn't look like on their face they're enjoying this experience too much. So here's the thing. Over my years as preaching, I've always kind of looked for the smiling faces because I'd rather preach to a smiling face than to a scowling face. I kind of look across the room, some of you way back there, some of you down here in front. I can find the smiling faces, and I'm inclined to preach to the smiling faces. But over the years, I've learned that's not the best thing to do because the smiling face may be thinking about the lake. It's that scowling, skeptic face that very often is absorbing most of the message. It's that scowling, skeptic face that most often is listening very intently and absorbing the message. Over the years, I've had more life-changing decisions made in the lives of those scowling, skeptic faces. All I'm saying to you is, you can't tell by looking at someone whether or not they're receiving your message. The very person who looks like they have no patience with you, the very person who looks like they disagree with everything you're saying, the very person who looks like they wish you would just be quiet, that person is probably the person who's receiving the most from whatever it is you're saying. That's the person who will be most impressed with the idea that you're carrying your Bible back and forth. That's the very person who might be most impressed that you have the courage to pray over your meal. Don't run from that person. Be drawn to that person. That's what I've learned over a lot of years of standing before you. Now, we're suggesting that you should lead those folks comprehensively. Comprehensively. Notice what Jesus says here, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. I guess it goes without saying that the Christian life is not a smorgasbord where we can pick and choose what we want. We can't just live the way we want to live and pick this part and pick this part and pick this part. And by the way, that habit, that behavior is more prominent today than it's ever been in my life. Somehow people think, well, I'm going to hold on to those teachings, but I'm going to dismiss those teachings because those teachings seem hateful. Those teachings seem intolerant, but I'm going to hang on to those teachings because I like those, and those seem the nicest and the sweetest and the warmest. We can't do that. We can't pick and choose which teachings we like. It's not a smorgasbord. And when we teach, we're teaching other people by the way we're living ourselves. Jesus says we teach others to observe everything He has given us. And the way we do that is by living it. Living everything He has commanded us. And you know, here, as soon as I say that, we shouldn't be hearing that as a negative thing. We shouldn't be hearing that as an overwhelming thing, as an overbearing thing. Oh, gosh. Everything Jesus has commanded. Oh, my goodness. I enjoy living these teachings. I enjoy living these teachings. I enjoy communicating these things by living them. But when it comes to all His teachings, oh, my goodness sakes, what an awful, heavy thing it is. That's not the way life should be at all. That's not the way the work should be at all. I'm going to slow down here and make sure you're with me. Observing everything He has given us is not negative. It's a huge positive. Listen, follow along with me. If a little bit of Jesus is good, then a lot of Jesus is better. And all of Jesus is best, right? If I'm going to live, I want to live like a vacuum cleaner. I want to live taking in everything Jesus has taught us. If a little is good, then a lot is better, and all of it is best. I want everything Jesus has to offer, and I want people to see me in my joy and my fulfillment in doing that. I don't want people to see me just following some of the Lord's commandments. I don't want people to see me just embracing some of the Lord's teachings. That's not enough. We won't be happy that way. We won't be fulfilled that way. We won't be all we've created to be that way. We want people to see all we've been created to be by following all of Jesus, all of His teachings. That's when we're the happiest. That's when we're the most fulfilled. That's when there's spring in our step. That's when there's peace in our lives. Being that way is what people are going to see and be drawn to. Living everything Jesus has commanded. Leading comprehensively. One last thing here. Lean habitually. Do you know what the last words Jesus spoke to us before He ascended into the clouds, promising to return the same way? Look at this. The very last words Jesus spoke before he ascended were these: "Remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age." I've tried to imagine what must have been his expression on his face. I think it was a big smile. You know, "Remember, I'll be with you always to the end of the age." I know I've given you a palate here. It's hard for you to digest. I know some of you are having a hard time catching up with me. But listen, I'll be with you always to the end of the age. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about any of this, because I'm going to be with you always. I'm going to be with you always. Remember, because you're so prone to forgetting. Remember, because you're going to need this. Remember, because you're now my siblings. Remember, because life will get very dark. Remember, because you're so very weak. Remember, because I enjoy holding you up. Remember, because you won't be able to see me, not with your eyes. Remember, I'm with you always. I've done some major projects around my house. Those of you who know me know I enjoy being a handyman. It's about as far from what I do throughout the rest of the week as is possible. And, of course, I've learned the secret so many of you have learned. You can do a lot of these projects by following YouTube. You know, I've watched YouTube and built myself a shed. And I've watched YouTube and I've laminated the cabinet tops in the kitchen. I've watched YouTube and I've totally retiled our guest bathroom. YouTube can teach you a lot of stuff. You can take credit for YouTube. One of my favorite things to watch on YouTube is a program, not a do-it-yourself program. You can ask Linda this. One of my favorite things to watch on YouTube is America's Got Talent and Britain's Got Talent. And they show just the best, which is all I'm interested in anyway. But those of you who are not fans and haven't watched this program, let me kind of explain it to you. You got this auditorium full of people. It's got a balcony, hundreds and hundreds of people. And these contestants come out and they perform. They're performing in front of these hundreds of people. That's as intimidating as it can be. But they're performing in front of this panel of four judges. And one of them is Simon Cowell. And this guy is just, he's notorious for being tough. He's notorious for just being a hard-nosed judge. So these people come out to perform in front of these judges and this crowd. And they're usually just as nervous and as scared as they can be. Normally, they're little kids, 12, 13 years old, 14 years old. Nervous, little voices are quivering, you know, as they're looking out here, looking at all these people. They're not accustomed to performing in front of people. But the thing that the judges can't see and the thing that the crowd can't see is just off stage over here, 25 feet or so, you know, is their mom and dad, or mom or dad, you know, or big sister, big brother, standing right over there. I mean, where they're standing, they can see them. They're standing right there. The judges can't see them. The crowd can't see them, but they're standing right there. And, you know, they love this little kid out there performing, and they're supporting this little kid. They're standing just like this, you know. They're so supportive. They're so undergirding. They're rooting for them, probably praying for them. This child is to get up there and perform, and these kids perform, and oh, they're just so good. But you can watch right off stage over there, there's mom and dad. You know, they're just like this. Jesus has given us an assignment. And it's a little bit scary. It's a performance, really. We're standing in front of the world. See how many times you can say Jesus' name in a day. It's a little bit scary. See if you can talk about Jesus. What the world can't see is right off stage over there, 25 feet away, is Jesus. Man, he's loving us. Man, he's rooting for us. He's undergirding us. He's lifting us up. He's caring for us. You can almost feel the love and the affection coming from Jesus right over there. He's saying, remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. While you're about the work of saying his name while you're about the work of living everything he's commanded you, the joy of that. All you got to do is look off stage, and there's Jesus right there, and he's looking at you like this. You're doing good. You're doing good. You're doing good. Keep it up. You're doing good. There's Jesus saying, remember, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. The last thing Jesus said before he ascended into the heavens was, remember, 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 I'm with you always, always, always to the very end of the age. I'm with you always to the end of the age. Always to the end of the age. We don't need to be able to see Jesus elevate into the clouds. We see that all the time in movies. That's no big deal for us. That wouldn't impress us today. What will impress us is remembering everything he's taught us and doing everything he's taught us, including sharing his name. Right? Pray with me. Lord and Savior, are we really your brothers and sisters? Is that right? Are we really your little brothers? Are we really your little sisters? Are we your siblings? Is your father our father? Have we been adopted? Because you've been given all power, have we been given all power? Because you've been given all authority, have we been given all authority? Can we really go out into this world and do all the things you've asked us to do with your power and your authority? Can we really do that? Because if we can, Katie, bar the door. Are you standing off in the wings rooting for us? Are you proud of us? Can we trust you to be there? We can't see you. Can we trust you to be there for us in all things, in everything? We know we fail. Can we trust you when we fail? We know we disappoint you. Can we trust you when we disappoint you? Are you there? We hear you say, remember, I'm with you always, 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 to the end of the age. Lord Jesus, we just yield before you. How can these things be? But it's wonderful that they are. It's wonderful that they are. Keep your head bowed for just a moment. Are you a Jesus follower? Are you a Jesus follower? Do you follow Jesus with your life? Wouldn't you like to be? I can't, Pastor. Of course you can. Sure you can. I'm a failure, Pastor. You're not as big a failure as some of the rest of us here were. I'm a pagan, Pastor. You're no bigger a pagan than many of the rest of us here were. Oh, Pastor, I'm coming from an immoral life. No bigger than the immoral life that many of us here came from. Why don't you give it up today? Why don't you become a follower? That's all his invitation has ever been. To become his follower. To turn away from the defeated, dark, depressing life you've lived up to this point and just turn and follow him. Why don't you follow him today? You'll never, ever regret it. We have men and women who love people who've come from some of these backgrounds we're talking about. They love people and just would love to visit with you, would love to talk with you. They've already taken their positions up here on the front row. Why don't you come and talk with one of them? Or why don't you just come and pray with one of our staff pastors? You know, it may be that you just need to spend some time at the altar. We've got a big altar. That's what it's for. What will the Lord have you do in your life today? He's very active. Somebody said, does the Lord speak quietly? No, he's a lot louder than that. He speaks with his Holy Spirit, and there's rarely any questioning what he wants. If he's speaking to you right now, you know what he wants. Say yes. Follow him. Lord and Savior, deal with us that way now. Weigh heavily upon our hearts. Draw us to you. Help us to respond. Help us to say yes. We pray it in your name. Amen.